Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, my friends. This is Douglas James Cottrell speaking, and you're listening to the Global Village Radio Show. My good friend and co-host Doug Bentley is here tonight, and we have a fascinating show. We are going to ask the question, that philosophical question from many years ago, I think, therefore I am. Well, let's ask ChatGPT, artificial intelligence. My nickname is Al, and we're going to ask Al tonight that question. So as we tune into this fascinating attempt to understand what this thought-provoking episode radio show might be, we do delve into the timeless philosophical question of I think, therefore I am. Join us as we contemplate whether Al, with its ever-evolving capabilities, can eventually acquire human-like thinking process and even possess a soul. Yes, that's the question I'm going to ask. We're going to interview Al tonight, as we did last week a little bit, and we're going to explore some of those questions. So as we ask Al about this, you know, ever-expanding consciousness, we're going to get the inside scoop from Al himself, itself, herself. Okay, so here we go tonight. Welcome to the show, Doug. We have a couple of people standing by. Let's get right to it. Well, let me get right to it by turning on your microphone, amigo. So as we go to it, you know, have you any thoughts? I mean, what's out there? I know the conspiracy people are talking about, you know, artificial intelligence and Terminators, Skynet, you know, the computers taking over and building monstrous machines to control us. But as we engage in a captivating conversation that transcends the boundaries of science and philosophy, what kind of notions do you, my friend, and those people out there listening to our voice tonight have about this amazing, new, I think, powerful tool? Everybody's talking about it, of course, one way or the other, good, bad, or ugly. This is here to stay. It is a phenomenon. It is a machine. It is a computer. It is an intelligence. We don't know what the limits of this intelligence are, and we're going to discuss some of that tonight. But we do know that recently, as just a few days ago, it was in the news on the most trusted radio TV show in the world that said that this AI has been used in developing a new antibody so it can conquer some of the most horrendous diseases out there. So new antibiotics research is taking place. Remember, antibiotics is the only medicine that actually kills viruses or bacteria. No other medication does that. Other medications, this is my opinion, by the way, other medications have a tendency to subdue the symptoms, but antibiotics is the only thing that actually kills virus and mucus and bacteria conditions. I didn't know that until I was like 35 years old, and ding, antibiotics is a powerful thing to have. Unfortunately, the disease outfoxes the antibiotics and they adjust, and that's why you have to keep coming up with more powerful antibiotics, my friends. And that said, as a non-medical person. So welcome to the show, Doug. I mean, we've talked about this before. I think, therefore, I am. By the way, do you know where that saying came from, and by any chance? Knows all,
yes,
Doug,
I do.
Knows all.
Yes,
where
I
did
do.
It come from, my friend?
It was promulgated first by René Descartes in his philosophy. In Latin, it's cogito ergo sum.
Very good. And what is it actually, you know, I mean, we know what it means when I think therefore I am,
okay,
but what
it's
was
not
the
a logical
perspective?
It's not a logical syllogism. It's basically, it says, there exists thinking, therefore there exists what I identify as I.
Hmm.
So thinking is, he wanted to start a philosophy where he could start from something that was unquestionable, and he chose that. How do I know I exist? Because I'm thinking. So there exists thinking, therefore I exist. And that's basically what it's saying.
Okay, well, makes sense to me. Every time I look in the mirror, there I am. The only trouble is I keep changing.
You wouldn't be shocked if you saw someone else in the mirror when you looked at it.
Yeah. Whatever happened to that guy with all his hair and muscles and, you know, like looking terrific? Now there's this guy with little wrinkles on his, you know, little hair sitting here.
When my dad was in his late 80s, that's where he said, who's that old guy looking at me in the mirror?
He was a wise man. We have a couple people in the queue tonight, and the number to call in, my friends, is 718-766-4421. We're going to an abbreviated show tonight. It'll be an hour, just because it's the summertime, and yours truly needs his beauty rest to get out there early tomorrow morning and start golfing. Well, no, that's not true. I'm going to be raking. No, I won't be raking lawn. No, anyway, doing chores around the house. So please call in and let us know. Catch up to us if you have a question. The question tonight is, where the heck are we going with this AI? Is it going to is it going to be our servant or our master, basically, is the question. So I asked AI a couple of questions. We're interviewing AI right here on the air. Number one, can AI experience subjective consciousness and self-awareness in the same way humans do? Here's what AI said. As of my knowledge, cut off of September 2021, AI has not demonstrated subjective consciousness or self-awareness comparable, underline that word, comparable, to human experiences. We're always looking, Doug, are we not, for those little red flag words? So there's, has not demonstrated subjective conscious or self-awareness comparable to human conscious experiences. AI systems are based on algorithms and computational processes lacking the subjective experience associated with human consciousness. Well, that's a pretty cool answer. It says what it is, based on mathematics and computing processes, but it lacks the subjective experience associated with human consciousness. I take that to mean life, right? It just has not lived life like we do. You know, making mistakes, bumping into things, having emotional ups and downs. You know, what do you think, my friends out there? Is that a good answer? Is AI on track here? That was the number one question. Answer the first three, then we're going to go to the phones, okay? Number two, what are the potential ethical implications of creating AI that can think its way to becoming human-like? Okay, there we go. What are the ethical implications of creating AI? In other words, it's possible for this AI to learn and for humans to give it the ways and means to learn so that it can have potential ethical implications and think the way humans or human-like people think. Okay, here's what it said. The creation of human-like AI arises several ethical considerations. It prompts questions about the rights and treatments of AI. The rights and treatments of AI, underline that one. The potential for AI to replace human labor and the responsibility of AI developers in ensuring the well-being and proper use of AI technology. Did you get that answer? What does that mean, Doug?
Well, repeat the last bit again. I was thinking about some of it.
I'll read it. What are the potential ethical implications of creating AI that can think its way to becoming human-like? Here's what AI said. The creation of human-like AI raises several ethical considerations. It prompts questions about the rights and treatment of AI, the potential of AI to replace human labor, and the responsibility of AI developers in ensuring the well-being and proper use of AI technology. That sounds
I would focus mm-hmm. on, in terms of society, I am particularly concerned about the trend, the effort, scientific research being done to drastically or replace human labor with machines. So I'm thinking of self-driving trucks, where there are all these truckers, what would they do? I'm thinking of those that are manufacturing at cars, men and women that working in manufacturing cars, and if they're giving all these machines in, they can work 24 hours a day, they don't have to pay them benefits, all of these other things. But my concern from a societal point of view is men and women derive value, a sense of worth, and identification from the work that they do. And if they are put out of work, it can be emotionally and mentally extremely stressful, particularly if comparable work that would be available is also taken over by these AI machines. And people can say what they like, but these corporations, the purpose of corporations is to make money.
Boy,
they're not particularly concerned with the welfare of the worker.
I remember my dad telling me, when
I was very young, I said to him, corporations have a responsibility to provide meaningful employment for people. And he laughed and he said, they're just interested in making money.
That's right. That's the number one thing about corporations is the lifeblood of the corporation is to make money. They hire people only because they need them. And this is one thing. There's that social consciousness out there, you know, that so goes General Motors, so goes society. But you're talking about robotics, and that's been around for a long time. We're talking about these self-driven vehicles. That's going to be out there. We have drones. We have machinery now. It does sound like Skynet, where we have military devices being operated by artificial intelligence. And as you just recounted, there are consequences to us, the ordinary person. Let's go on to question number three, and then we'll go to the phones. How would AI's perception of time, this is a good one, how would AI's perception of time differ from human perception? Well, you just alluded to that it could work 24/7, Doug. AI's perception of time is typically determined by its programming and computational capabilities. Unlike humans who perceive time subjectively, AI processes information based on predefined algorithms and processing speeds, allowing it to complete tasks at rapid rates. I'm kind of taking that one to mean that it doesn't relate to time as we do. It relates at progressing speeds, which I think is the speed of light when you watch this thing come up with an answer or two. It's amazing. So let's go to the phones and see what our friends and neighbors out there have to say, as we have a couple of people waiting by, and we're going to go to them right now. By the way, my friends, Paul is in, where is he in tonight, Arizona, and he's going to climb up some mountains, or he's going to go up some mesa, as he's on a philosophical safari right now. He's taking pictures, and I've seen one or two of them, and the hills and the place in Arizona is absolutely beautiful. So that's where Paul is, and that's why we're just going to go right to the phones ourselves. And here we go in the 312 and say, hello, you're on the air. Who am I talking to?
Hi, my name's Karen, calling from Chicago.
Let's see. I think I know
that voice
Karen
before.
In Chicago.
Yes, it's Karen.
Yeah, hi, Karen. How are you?
Hello.
How are you doing? Yep.
I'm good.
What do you think? What do you think about AI?
I think I'll be out of a job for sure. I think I would be out of a job because one of my tasks is to call people over the phone and talk with them, and they could easily just have a computer do that, and I probably see them doing that in the future. You know, a lot of customer service and those type of jobs will be replaced by computers. Now, whether people want to talk to those computers is another thing, but I see those type of jobs being replaced for sure.
Do you use any AI in your work now? Have you got any ChatGPT?
The only thing that they do is they did get some software that somehow when they call, they did rapid call. We don't have to call. We don't do the phone calling directly. The computers just keep calling numbers. So that's automated calling.
Yeah, that's just call this and robotic calling. That's been around for years. But you haven't tried ChatGPT on your cell or computer. There's a free version out there, right? So it's interesting to see when people, like I was skeptical of it, and Doug is looking at it with a really close eye. And it's absolutely amazing to see what it can come up with at warp speed. I mean, it just goes. If you ask a question, before you finished typing in the question, it has the answer. So anyway, it's kind of like I don't see people interacting with it in that basis where we have like this. Cutie Pie computer on the other side voice, and it's just basically anticipating people's questions and answering them. It could be, but I don't know. I would be reluctant to engage something like that. As a matter of fact, some of the concern, Karen, is that people are worried that they won't be able to distinguish whom they're talking to, what they're talking to, and what's being given to them, like newscast or things that are being generated by AI. But if you get the chance, give it a try. And I'd be interested to see what you would think of it, because it's you're a pretty smart gal, and being able to see what this thing can do at warp speed is amazing. We're going to ask some questions here in a little bit, just at random. We asked three questions here, and we gave three answers. And, they're kind of wishy-washy, but I mean, we're asking questions about itself, right? So it's kind of like, okay, like we caught you, we got your hand in the cookie jar here, what's going on, So we've got people waiting on here on the call. We're going to get to everybody as soon as we can. But what do you think about that? I don't think you're going to be out of a job. I mean, if anything, you should look more about how to handle AI, because apparently the programming and how you ask the question and what you do on it seems to be an open field. What do you think?
Right. They've been I've seen that right now, that they've been advertising a lot for the like AI security and all those type of fields mentioned. Like I've just seen it on the internet where there's classes you can take and all sorts of they've been advertising that a lot on television.
Well, would you think that's something you would do? I mean, if you're worried about losing a job, maybe that, if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing.
Right. I would probably have to talk to a counselor and see how they would evaluate when I went to school. That would be the big thing. When I went to school, there was no computer, so I don't know how they would evaluate the transcript on that end.
Listen, you can ask, I've done this. You can ask Al. I think it's actually AI, but I call it. You can ask Al, how can I ask you a question? You can ask Al, like, how do I get this? I want to do these spreadsheets, whatever, this information. Tell me how I should give it to you so you can do the analysis, and it will tell you.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I like that. I would like that. I would definitely like that.
Well, check it out and get familiar with it, because I know you're smart. You've been around. You've got a lot of office experience. And this... this is like when computers first came out, Commodore 64, for anybody who might be around in the 1980s when that came out, there was a lot of intrepidation. There was a lot of suspicion Somebody was, you know, the conspiracy people back then were saying the same thing. The world is going to be so much different. And they were right. Look what's happened to the world with our computers and with Google and Bing and Yahoo and all those other things that came out. The world is, I mean, everybody, when I sit down somewhere, I have Wi-Fi going through me. I have Wi-Fi operating something in my hand. My cell phone, my computer, my iPad, it's here today.
Right.
Not too long ago, you had to dial a phone.
Yeah.
You had to, it would go click, 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 you know, and you would dial seven numbers, and you would get somebody on the other end after it would go ring, ring. And when voicemail came along, that was, my God, that was amazing. Oh, my God. And so here we are now, like, yeah, Douglas, what are you talking about? You know, nobody knows what I'm talking about even. VH, you know, beta and the VHS video cassettes. What the heck's that guy talking about now? I sound like Robert Appel dating myself back in those days. Pardon me. And all due respect to Robert, but. So what do you think about that? You think you could have a look at something like that? Or what's your biggest fear about we'll get to the calls. We've got a whole bunch of waiting here.
I think that the biggest fear is going to be is that people are going to be – they're not going to know how to adapt. Because in the past, they had more time to adapt to it. But now things are moving so fast that I think that a lot of people are going to get lost. Just they're just going to get behind unless there's some type of tutorials for people or more information out there.
It's out there, Karen.
Yeah.
It's out there. They have tutorials. It's free. There's a lesser version that they have. It's let me see here. There's the Model 3.5, and then there's the Model 4. And the Model 4 is the one that is really super quick. But anyway, yeah, there are tutorials, and I think that's what we should do. I guess what the part of the show here is my point is don't wait, find out, catch up, because this thing is moving at warp speed. And we are concerned, are we not, that this is going to take over our society in a way that's not going to be positive. As I said, antibiotics are being, the processing, the mathematics, and the formulas are being developed in weeks where it used to take months and years. And so this amazing capacity, like all things that have power, there is a fantastic benefit, and then there's the lookout benefit or lookout not so benefit. So anyway, okay. Well, listen, thanks for expressing your points of view, Karen. Anything else before we go?
I did have one little quick question. I'm expecting to go to a wedding this summer or early fall. Do you see that happening? It's a cousin of mine.
Yep.
You think I'll get invited?
Yep. Looks like a Southern Belle kind of wedding kind of thing. Everybody's outside and sunny.
Oh, okay.
Big
hats. Having a good time?
Of course. You're the star now. You're not the black sheep anymore. Okay. No,
okay.
Enjoy yourself. Yeah, you got a partner. You're doing okay. And let me know how you make out with AI. But thanks for your comments tonight, Karen. As always, thank you very much for being on the show. Okay.
So if you're not the black sheep anymore, then don't be sheepish.
Okay. Hey, we're going to head on over to the 310 area code and say hello. You're on the air. Who am I talking to?
Hey,
please?
How are you? This is Vince from New York.
Hi, Vince. Hey. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. So this thing with AI, it's in one way it's frightening, and because I see that the machines, like the people develop these machines and the AI and everything, and eventually the machines are going to start taking over by the sense of that they're going to learn through humans how to develop AI, and they're going to start developing their own kind. It's almost going to be a whole new human race type of thing. You know, and it's really funny because I see this commercial frequently, I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen this commercial frequently there where people have lost their ability to maybe move their arm properly, like either through a stroke or whatever. And this company has developed this AI arm. It's almost like a computer, and what you do is you attach it to your entire arm, and it picks up all the signals and everything, so it now helps you to be able to move your arm and do things the way a person normally would with their arms and their hands and their fingers being able to move it everything. So
it's amazing.
It's really incredible in that way. But I do feel that the computers are going to eventually start developing themselves. Now, you know, what's really funny is I have Sirius satellite radio, and I love it because I love listening to the old-time radio shows from the 40s, the 50s, and there's a sci-fi show that they have that I've listened to a couple of times, and there was this one that they did where this company developed these new robots, AI as it were, and at first it was fantastic, everybody loved it and everything, but then it started creating its own mind. And for instance, one guy would say he wanted to kill his wife, but he wanted to do it in a way that he could get away with it so they wouldn't be able to take poison in her system. So the intelligence would say to him, this is what you do, and to get away with it. And
right.
So all of a sudden...
You think AI is capable of doing things like that?
Eventually it will.
Here's a question I asked along those lines. Number four tonight. Can AI develop emotions and empathetic capabilities comparable to those of humans? Answer. Well, AI can simulate emotions and exhibit empathetic behavior. It is important to note that these capabilities are programmed rather than genuinely felt. AI lacks underlying conscious experience, biological human emotions. That's answer back. So basically says it doesn't feel.
Right, but I do think that eventually it will. I think that eventually it'll be sensitive to pick up humans' emotions and start developing its own, similar to the same kind of lines. It's just a really scary situation. And then, I've been working in the manufacturing industry all my life, and I've seen AI work in the industry, and the robot arms who they programmed to have where they can, like when we do variety packs at work, the arm lifts everything and puts everything on the pallet the way they want it. And it's so amazing. And it very rarely breaks down. It very rarely loses its rhythm.
That's what computers are all about, is repetitious movements. And they move in. They don't vary.
Yeah. I didn't see them in the warehouse. So it's unbelievable.
Now we have people moving up from AI moving from the warehouse into the into the front office, right? Decisions on ordering and logistics and who knows what they're doing out there, maybe improving the product line. So you feel afraid, you feel a little scared this could maybe take over and become human-like.
Oh, I definitely do see that. I definitely really do see that. Whether you're going to become eventually bosses and managers, so it wouldn't surprise me in the least. In fact, already throughout the country, radio stations have replaced a lot of DJs with AI. Howard Stern was on a show a couple weeks ago. Howard Stern was playing AI announcing music and everything like that, and you couldn't really tell the difference. So it was really
interesting. That's kind of what we're doing tonight, Vince. We're in the AI. Question number five, what role does embodiment play in the development of human-like thought processes? and can I truly replicate it? Answer. Embodiment, encompassing the physical senses and interactions with the environment, significantly influences human thought processes. Replicating the complex embodiment experiences of humans presents a significant challenge for AI, as it currently lacks physical form and direct sensory experiences. So there it is right now. It's saying, at this point in time, we can't feel it because we don't have any sensory inputs. Reversing that, Vince, if there were sensory inputs created, there we go. Listen, thanks for being on the show, my friend. We have a whole bunch of people waiting here in the line, and good to hear from you.
Okay.
And I hope you're having success in your vocation, as you always seem to be a survivor, and I hope your wife is doing well. Take care, my friend.
Somehow.
Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah,
okay.
I do have one question, though. This job that I have, I'm working at a brewery right now in Pennsylvania, and I'm just wondering right now, it's just a temporary or seasonal position. So I'm wondering if they're going to keep me on after 90 days and offer me a full-time position.
I see you working very hard. You're loading and unloading. You're moving cases. You're like perspiring. You're working really hard. So lots of work for you there. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Take care, Vince.
Take care.
That was Vince from New York, everybody. And we're going to go to a Skype call in next. We have somebody in the 845, someone in the 773, somebody else in the 773. And again, it's an abbreviated show tonight. We're just on until 10 o'clock. We have about half an hour left. So here we go. Hello, are you on the air? Hiya. We can hear you moving around in the background. Hello. You're on the air. We'll come back, okay? Can you hear us? Can you hear us? You're on the air. Okay, we'll come back to in a minute. Oh, we're going to the 845 now. Say hello, you're on the air. Hi. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. This is Maria from New York.
Hi,
how
Maria.
Are you?
We're okay.
If you can give a message for my husband, please.
What was that, Maria? I missed that.
Yes.
What did you say? We're talking about AI tonight, artificial intelligence.
Just to talk tonight. I was asking my side from the other side.
Was your...
I will listen to talk to you.
Your relative? You're talking about your relatives? Go ahead.
Yes, my husband.
Doug, did you get that? I got a little fuzz in my hair. Okay, it looks like we're having a... What did you say, Maria? We have a little buzz here going on.
I say, as you can tell me a message from my husband on the other side.
Oh, we have to ask AI. Let's if we could ask AI, can we talk to Maria's husband from the other side? Why don't we do that and see what it says, okay? Since we're having a fun show, let's see. Can you, AI, talk with Maria's husband on the other side? Okay, no disrespect, we're just going to see what this thing can say. It says, as AI is a language model, I'm not capable of directly communicating with individuals who have passed away or contacting the deceased. My purpose is to provide information and assist with various topics to the best of my knowledge and abilities. If you have any questions or need assistance with different topics, feel free to ask. So there we go, Maria. We asked artificial intelligence if it could reach into the other side, and it basically said no.
Yeah.
So, pardon me for playing with it, but this is the show tonight about the capabilities of AI. Intuitively, I think your husband is looking, you know, I can see him moving his foot. He's starting to move around. Looks like, is there some celebration coming up in the family? Is there like a wedding or a
My husband's birthday is Sunday.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is what I see him doing. He's going to be enjoying the family celebrations. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Has he been around to tell you, hello, here I am, come in your dreams yet?
No.
Well, he's watching over. I have a distinct vision of him tapping his toes like he would be getting into the rhythm, into the music. So there you go. Okay?
Love the music. I like to dance. I love the music. You're right.
Well, he's going to be there. He loves it. I can see him tapping his toe. You know, he's really getting into the music while he's in spirit. So I guess that means he'll be listening over to the family celebrations tonight. Okay, thank you, Maria, for being on the show tonight. Appreciate
that. Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
So, Doug, what do you think of that?
What in particular? It was a truthful answer for sure.
Well,
I was thinking about what Vince said, and the because I know a great deal of money and research is being done right now on making AI and robotics that appear human and act human and simulate emotions and thinking.
Yeah. They have real-life models that they look humanoid, but they also can run and walk. I saw some where they had like little kids that were playing soccer. They had two AI robots that were learning how to play soccer and how to pass the ball to each other. Wow. Huh. Okay, stand by. We'll be right back after this short break. And more on interviewing our best big brother, or maybe I shouldn't say that, AI. We'll be right back.
For many years, clairvoyant seers have had the ability to peer into the Akashic field and see the library of information for every thought, deed, and action of souls living on the physical earth plane. One of four such individuals, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, trained under the direction of Ross Peterson, who, just like Edgar Cayce, was able to diagnose and provide guidance for physical and other problems encountered in daily life. One of Douglas's many books, The Complete New Age Health Guide, is a plentiful resource from thousands of clairvoyant readings. You'll learn how thought, emotion, and attitude influence your physical health, keys to anti-aging, the simple ways to a good life and diet, and so much more. Take a look at the New Age Health Guide. On sale now at DouglasJamesCottrell.com.
We understand people may have strong opinions that are different than our own. So join us and call in with questions and comments as we attempt to explore the unlimited human consciousness.
Every so often, an individual appears who can demonstrate the ability to access the dimension known as the Akashic Field. Dr. Douglas James Cottrell is one such individual. The field is like a celestial library of all our thoughts and actions. Since the dawn of time, science is demonstrating that through this energetic field, our minds are connected to one another despite our perception that we're all separate. This is why the great religions of the world teach respect, compassion, and tolerance. They depict the field as the book of life, the source of inventions, inspiration, and insight. In the book, Conversations with the Akashic Field, Dr. Cottrell offers you practical advice from the Akashic Field so you may live a life of peace and prosperity. Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and click on Shop. There you'll find books, meditation, and other spiritual advancement materials. Thank you.
And welcome back, my friends. We're talking tonight AI. We're asking, interviewing, if you will, my favorite best buddy at the ChatGPT AI. And we're calling that AI Al, just for lack of a better term. And we're attempting to engage a captivating in conversation that transcends the boundaries of science and philosophy tonight. And we're challenging conventional notions of identity and existence with AI. And so we have some callers waiting on the phone as we go here to the last half or the back half of the show. And Doug, you know, what do you think? I mean, some of those answers that the listeners called in, you know, it's amazing how AI can, I don't know, can answer eloquently those hard to ask questions.
Well, it's, if you know anything about computer programming, it's very sophisticated programming. They can also do extremely complicated calculations, which you know, not ChatGPT doesn't do, but in terms of mathematics, it's amazing. You know, they can calculate, let's say, pi to a million places extremely quickly, almost seemingly instantaneously. Not quite, well, but very, very quickly. So, and this is the computing power is just extraordinary. It's so far beyond what humans can do.
Well,
but now they're getting into word language, you know, words and sentences and all that, and that's just the next step.
Oh, sure. AI writes books. AI does artwork. AI does carvings. AI does just about anything. It can play music and songs, and it's just amazing. You just type in, say, write me a song on lovebirds, and it will. And we're not going to do that here tonight because we just have a few minutes left. But can AI possess a sense of purpose or meaning in the same way humans do? Question number 7. AI does not possess inherent desires or existential concerns. Its purpose and meaning are derived from programmed objectives and tasks, which are designed by human developers. There you go. AI lacks the autonomous self-reflection and existential natural association with human purpose and meaning. Okay, so what are the potential risks and benefits of AI achieving human-like thought and consciousness? This is a big question. It's question number 8. The potential risks of AI achieving human-like thought and consciousness are complex and multifaceted. Risks include the loss of human employment, ethical concerns regarding AI rights and treatment, potential misuse of advanced AI systems, and the challenge of aligning AI values with human values. Benefits could include improved AI-human interactions, advancement in problem-solving, and potential scientific insights into the nature of consciousness. Okay, so number 9. How might AI's ability to think its way to becoming human-like impact our understanding on human nature and the human experience? Answer. AI's ability to simulate human-like thought may offer valuable insights into human cognition and consciousness by comparing AI processes with human cognitive processes. Researchers may gain a deeper understanding of human nature. However, it is important to acknowledge that AI at present lacks subjective experience, emotions, and the full range of human complexities. Well, that's a fair enough statement. It says, hey, everybody, you might think I'm human, but I'm not. Not yet. What do you think, Doug?
Well, I mean, the programming is endless because it doesn't have a conscience. It can be programmed to be deceptive on certain topics. If it's a political situation, it can program it to be deceptive, program it to lie.
Well, we don't know that. We don't know that.
Well, it's very easy to do the programming to do that. simply
yeah, but the, we don't know if the people, the creators, are ethical.
No, no, we don't. But I'm saying that's another danger.
Yeah, hypothetical question. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the phones and see. We got somebody here in the 773 area code and waiting and saying, "Hello, you're on the air."
You talking to me?
We certainly are.
This is Carol from Chicago. I was thinking about, can AI make psychic predictions? But I guess it would depend upon the...
I already asked the question. It won't do it.
I know. But what I'm saying, I guess it would depend upon the information it was fed to. And will AI ever replace psychics?
Nope, it won't do it. I asked it, and it says that it's not able and capable to do that because its information comes from databases already. Now, when it's calculating, like it came up with this new formula for an antibiotic, that information was already there, and it just did the calculations to find it. It's getting into the spiritual world and into thought, as it said, question number 10. Can AI develop a sense of individuality and personal identity distinct from its programming and training data? This might answer the question. AI can simulate certain aspects of individuality, such as a personal preference or learned behaviors, its sense of identity remains rooted in its programming and training data. AI lacks the external self-awareness and autonomous sense of identity that humans possess. So basically it's saying, you know, I might have this ability to simulate certain aspects of individuality, but I don't have self-awareness or a sense of identity that humans possess. So it cannot tap into that part of the mind. And, you know, psychic predictions are not reasoning, they're not logical, they're not data, they're not, it gets outside the realm of reason and logic, and it's a moving forward in time as well, which AI is not capable of doing. It's in the here and now. So I explored that a little bit last week and also in my own research, Carol, but it's good.
They have a website, I think it's called Camione or something like that, and they use it to make psychic predictions, but I think that accuracy depends upon the data that it is fed, you know. It can make psychic predictions now, but what it does, I guess, it's the psychic predictions that maybe you all said, and Nostradamus and Edgar Cayce said, it's in the database. They make them.
Yeah, well, then they're not making predictions, they're making subjective conclusions. In other words, you're taking from the data and they're basing what they know as the data, and they said, based on this, what do you see? In other words, what's your psychic prediction on the temperature of the oceans rising tomorrow? Well, you go out into the world and you find out that the Wall Street Journal had a story just a while ago about how Manhattan is sinking because of the weight of the skyscrapers. The people in Spain, the Mediterranean is up 1.5 degrees higher right now, today. And it would put those things together and it would make up a prediction that would be suitable, saying, yes, the seas are rising, you know, Manhattan's going underwater because the temperature in the Mediterranean is getting higher and the ice caps are melting. Well, that's not a prediction. That's just calculation and analyzing of various facts. That is what AI is good at. But it's not a prediction.
When I'm saying psychic prediction, I think the psychic predictions that I'm talking about is the psychic predictions that people have put into the data that it has collected already from psychic.
Sure. Sure, then that's just basically, you know, finding them and repeating them. That's, you know, like a big research base. Yeah, that's not what a prediction would be. It's just something that you're predicting something that's going to happen that nobody knows about at this point in time. But making a projection or a probable outcome of something, by basing on other people's predictions and insights. I wouldn't call that psychic. I would say it's something else. It's more like reporting or research or something like that. But it does work. I mean, basically, you go out and you find what 25 different top psychics, from Nostradamus to that fellow who was in Russia. I can't remember his name. Rumpel. Anyway, he was up with the Tsars at one time, and he was a great predictor. Anyway, so the point being is that, you know, summarizing what other people have said, this is what AI is good at doing.
Well, that's the same thing other people do. They make a website and they put psychic predictions, and they take other people's psychic predictions on their website, and that's what they call them. I guess
that's
what AI calls them too, because they got a website called Camioni or something like that.
Well, I don't know who they are, and just for people listening, I don't endorse other people's work, just in case, no confusion there. I don't know who these people are, and I don't endorse them. But certainly your opinion, Carol, is, I don't know whether they're doing psychic predictions or what they're doing, but putting other people's work down without their permission, that's not really nice. If they have their permission, then that's considered research, I would think. I don't know too much about other people doing stuff like that, but it's out there.
Well, ask it, does it have a, because I'm not sure, ask it, does it have a website called Camoenae, Camioenae.
Well, yeah, well, I don't know why you're promoting them, Carol. I've already said I don't promote other people's websites.
No, that's an AI website, I think. That's what I thought it was.
Well, AI is usually chat.
That's the one that uses AI. You're right.
Yeah. That's somebody's private work, that private website you're promoting here. So, but AI is chatopenai.com. That's the chat.openai.com. That's the website that you can go and find out. You can get a free version of AI. Anybody can. And you can check it out yourself for everybody listening out there. I was skeptical. I was cynical, and I don't use it. Haven't used it. It's not something I do every day. But the times I've used it to answer questions, it's like, wow, amazing. If you want to ask a question about something in law, if you want to ask how to make an apple pie, it can give you recipes in a moment. It just boggles the mind. Just unbelievable what it can come up with. Now, again, it's like a giant search engine. For somebody said this to me the other day, for people unfamiliar, it's like a giant search engine. It's like 100 Google search engines, or all the Bing and Yahoo's and all the other search engines getting together, which I think is incorporated in AI. I think it's got some association. So anyway, that's not you, not just you, Carol. It's kind of everybody out there I'm talking to. So another question. We got a couple more calls and a few minutes left.
Yes. I was thinking about that, too. I was thinking about it's just a bunch of the person was ingenious, because he thought about putting all the websites together and coming up with AI. I mean, he's a genius. Oh, my last question is, tell me anything you see me very, very, very happy about this year. And what will that be, you think?
I think it's the elections.
What?
What do you think, Doug? What's your 2 cents worth to make Carol really happy?
When she wins a lottery.
Oh.
Not necessarily the jackpot, but...
Well, that's what's going to be, the jackpot.
There you go. Your politics are going your way, Carol. Okay, thanks for being on the show tonight, okay? See you next time.
You didn't answer the question.
I did. Politics. Your politics are going your way. Something's going to make you happy. Aren't you a crusader? Aren't you out on the street with your signs and protest? I'm kidding about that. But no, something in politics is going to make you happy today. And I think this summer is going to be a really good summer for you. Don't you feel more peaceful right now?
Yeah, most of the time, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's going to get more, pronounced better and better as time goes on. So you expect to have a good summer, but something about politics is going to be okay, that you're going to make you real happy. I have no idea what's going to happen, but you seem quite happy about the politics going your way. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Let's see how that goes. Thanks, girl. Okay. Thanks for being on the show, as always. Okay, we're going to try to go to the 773 and say hello. You've been here. Would you like to? Are you listening, or are you? Would you have a question? I'm going to take that to mean that you're just listening, as usual. Okay, thanks for listening in and calling in every week. Okay, let's go back to that. That person in the Skype call. Hi, did you have a question tonight? Were you just listening, or did you have a question? Okay, we're having a lot of trouble. Is that Skype call coming in? It comes in at 111, and we don't, we can't get a hold of you there. A lot of static, so sorry about that. Okay, let's ask AI the last question. Okay, in conclusion, what is the biggest benefit to my audience? On the global village radio show. Okay, what in conclusion, asking AI, because we just interviewed them, what is the biggest benefit to my audience? I'll put in there tonight. You have to be specific. On the global village radio show, here's what it says. It's calculating. Or what is called is generating, and it's done. Just like that. The biggest benefit to your audience, or for your audience tuning into tonight's Global Village Radio Show, is the opportunity to engage in a thought-provoking exploration of the intersection between artificial intelligence and human consciousness. By delving into the topic of whether AI can think its way to becoming human-like and possessing a soul, your audience will gain a deeper understanding of the advancements in AI technology and the potential implications for our understanding of human nature. This discussion will challenge conventional notions, provoke critical thinking, and stimulate intellectual curiosity. Ultimately, your audience will walk away with a broader perspective on the boundaries of human cognition and the future of AI, and the philosophical questions surrounding consciousness and identity. I think that's very nice, Douglas. I think that's a very good conclusion to the show. Hey, everybody, you've been listening to the Global Village Radio Show. We're out of time tonight, and we're about to end the show, and we want you to think about what we've talked about tonight. Artificial intelligence, chat, GPT, as it's sometimes called. There's a website I'm looking at right now. It's chat.openai.com. And there is a free version you can get. I would encourage you to cautiously embrace what this is all about so that you don't get left behind. It's kind of like, you know, the time Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone. It's kind of when the Wright brothers invented that first airplane. It is a time when computers came along and Commodore 64 appeared. And it's a time, you know, when we had the Internet. Remember, the Internet wasn't always here once we had computers, but the Internet came by and it became what it is today. Something that we can't comprehend the extensiveness of it. And now here we are. It's like we're in outer space here with AI. So, my friends, I want to say goodnight. Doug, any last word before we go?
I agree with what you said. It's important whether or not we are involved in any significant way with AI and its advancement to be aware of what's happening, because it will have widespread significant changes in our society as a result.
Okay, there's a prediction from my good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley. I'm Douglas James Cottrell. We want to thank you for being on the show tonight and participating in our experiment here with, AI. We actually, somewhere in the future, people will be going back and listening to this, I suspect, and they'll be saying, they interviewed AI on the Global Village radio show. So there you go. And, I want to tell everybody I've immersed myself in diverse cultures and connecting with fascinating individuals from all walks of my life. And through these experiences, I've developed a deep passion for sharing these stories and knowledge I have gathered with listeners right here on the Global Village Radio. So as we embark on yet another journey of discovery and understanding, your presence and your participation make our show what it is, a vibrant, engaging, and thought-provoking forum for ideas and perspectives from around the world. So let's together embark on this journey and see where our curiosity takes us. Thank you for being part of the show tonight, and I look forward to having you right here next week. By the way, we have a special guest coming next week who will be engaging us with his presence and talking about his new book. And if I can pull this up real fast, we're going to be talking to or about, let me see. We're going to be talking about Jonathan England's journey from beach slacker to enlightenment leader, his rising through 5 levels of consciousness to found globally hailed village that's a model for conscious living. So he'll be here talking about his book and his ascension through these 5 levels of consciousness. And it's interesting he used the word global village in his description. Seems to be the same as the Global Village radio show. Good night, my friends. See you next week, 9 p.m., and Jonathan will be here. God bless you, one and all. May you go with God. Listen into the podcast. The podcast is called The Wake Up, and, of course, you're welcome to tune in to our weekly church service by going to the International School of the Prophets .com and finding the link there for Zoom. Good night, my friends. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindPro Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell & Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.